Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. We just pray, Lord, you will open our heart to understand it and speak through my mouth, Lord, to bless all of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The exhortation I'm going to give today is going to be something that I believe will bless everybody. This is something that many of us, in fact, everybody can fall into this, what we call a sin that easily beset us. Sin that easily beset us. But it's not really what many people classify as sin, but the Lord wanted us to learn something from this exhortation. Praise the Lord. The word of God is very, very important. We need to take good care of whatever he said. Take care of the word that was chosen. That is, when God speaks, when God gives us instruction, be very careful of the choice of his words. That is what the Lord wanted us to talk about today. The choice of God's word. And the reason why this is very important, in fact, this is one of, many of us are talking about the rapture, that we are going to go and meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. But one of the things we need to know about rapturing faith is what I just mentioned. The word of God, when he says it, watch carefully his choice of words. Watch carefully his choice of words. And I'm going to give you an example. Why do you think this is important? Majorly is because we human beings, we are so used to many things. Take for example, let me give you an example. Say, I call somebody, let's say my son, I say, you see all this trash, we want to burn it. Take all these bags of trash, take it to the incinerator, empty them down and touch it and just burn everything. Don't save anything out of this stack of junks. And the young man says, yes, sir. Or it could be any employee, and somebody that wanted to just do some hauling for you. You pack everything and say, haul this thing away and trash it. Don't save anything. And what is we individual human beings, we have the tendency of doing something. We take this trash. We start emptying it. We wanted to bunch it because the instruction of the master or whoever sent us, or our mom, our daddy, our mom, or anybody said, burn it. Don't save anything. And as we started to empty it, let's say a young man, you saw a wristwatch inside that stack. What is the tendency? Oh, wow, you look at it. Is it working? Oh, it's working. He pocketed it. That is the tendency. But he forgot something. The instruction was, don't save anything. Oh, it could be a lady. You are just doing some work, yard work, and you are trying to trash all of it. And they say, burn everything, but don't save anything. And you went there, and then after you are trying to burn it, you see a necklace. Wow, it says gold. It's a set of necklace, earring, and bands. No? And you say, wow. And you want to save it for yourself. That is the tendency of human beings. But it's very dangerous when we are talking to God. When we are talking about God, it's so dangerous. In fact, that is the examples I'm going to point to in the scriptures. Because when God speaks, when God gives instruction, how strongly should he say it? This is how the Lord led me to this. This is something he has been teaching us, what we call about, we wanted to be like Jesus. That is the goal of Christians. We all want to be like Jesus. And here is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Open to me for Gospel of John chapter 8 verse 29. Let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ said about himself that makes him different from every one of us. In Gospel of John chapter 8 verse 29, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he always do what pleases the Father. John chapter 8, verse 29. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and he said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, for God to give you a pat in the back and say, yes, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, you must be somebody that will take very cautious care of what he says, what he instructs you. You don't change it. You don't try to think you are smarter than whoever sent you on this errand. For example, this young man, I said, go and burn these things. And he heard that burn everything, don't save anything. But he saw something that he likes, where he thinks he's smarter than the instruction, and he wanted to save that for himself. See, that is the tendency of every human being. I'm not saying a particular person does this, but we're going to see example in the Bible. We know the story of when the Israelites got to a city called Jericho after Moses or Joshua led them to the River Jordan, and they came to Jericho, and God gave them instruction. The instruction was, attack this city of Jericho, destroy everything but the gold and the silver, or the gold, in just gold. Save only the gold for the treasure of the temple. That was the instruction. And they went and they attacked this city and they destroyed everything. And while one of the soldiers saw a wedge of gold, looked around, nobody, and he said, gee, I like this one. So he picked that one and he saw a Babylonian garment. Wow! And he liked that too. And he picked that one for himself. And he went and hid it. Well, you will say, well, you know how many soldiers went to Iraq? You know what they ran into? They got to the palace of this man, what is his name? Saddam Hussein. And they saw they saw bags and bags of dollars. Well, you can tell what they're going to do with it. Well, they turned some of those in. I'm sure they turned some of those in. But you see, this is the same type of thing that this man among the Israelites saw. He saw a wedge of gold, and he said, gee, I like this. And nobody's around, so he picked it for himself. But the instruction. So what we are saying is that when God gives instruction, he is God. He's greater than just a king. How strongly should he say it for you to take it seriously? How strongly should he say it? And that is what we should fear God when we talk about the word of God. Let me give you another example. How strongly should the Lord say this thing for me to take it, for you to take it as very important, very serious? There is another example was King Saul. If you don't know the story, let's read a little verse, some few verses of him. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. After Saul was made king, Prophet Samuel came to him and said in verse 1 to 3, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. The prophet was going to give the king an instruction that God told the prophet, go tell the king to go do this. He said, thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. I think that instruction was clear enough. So the tendency, like I say, is that when we human beings have instruction, we are so used to how we treat our own words. My daddy told me to go burn this thing, and yes, sir, and I went and burned it, and I saw that rinse wash. Gee, why are we burning this one? I pocket it. Or my mom said, that is how we treat our own words. But don't treat God's word like that. That is the danger that sometimes it could be deadly, sometimes it's just losing favor because God sees. Even though your mom didn't see that, your dad didn't see that, but when you're dealing with God Almighty, he sees all. You wonder why miracles are not happening. You wonder why some things you wanted, you didn't get it. Because God sees beyond what human beings can see. God can see down into your heart, down into your reins, and can even see the motive behind what you just did. And that is why the word of God, we should take it to the letter. If God said, you shall not do this is different from you may not do it. And I'm going to give another example, because even in real life, we human beings, we sometimes don't understand the words we are choosing to use. I remember a man told me, a preacher said it on radio one time. He said when he was in school, he was in the class and the teacher said, you all must sit down and do your own work. And after you do your own work, then you may go out and play. But you must finish your own work. And this guy said, after he finished his own work, and he went to the teacher and said, here's my own work. And he told the teacher, can I go out and play now? And the teacher said, can you? He said, he just got confused. Why did he say, can I? He said, can I go out and play? And the teacher said, can you? But you see, the difference is this, the choice of words. You know, we may say we are Africans, we don't really know English much. Even those who knew English, you have to choose your words carefully. What does can I mean? And the teacher said, yeah, can you? Can I is different from may I. So that is the choice of words that young man was remembering, that when he said that, the teacher, he was confused, that I thought he was telling us that when we finish our work, we could go. Why is he questioning me again, can I? And he said, well, the teacher now explained to him, if you are asking for permission, you say, may I. You are saying, can I mean, do I have the power to go out now? Am I able to do this? And he said, well, are you able? Can you? That's what his answer was. So that is why I'm saying, when the Lord speaks, watch the words he used. And in fact, the Bible said, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Take fast hold of it. That is, watch it carefully so that you don't miss it. And we're going to see similar examples in the Bible where many people failed God because of not watching the instruction carefully. Just like I give examples there, we have talked about the story of Achan that got something. He just, that was lost. You may say it was his loss. Yeah, but many times it was carelessness. Sometimes it's what is most of our problems. So let's read the story of Samuel, of Saul, in the story of Samuel. No, the instruction was clear. Destroy everything, spare nothing. And I will jump to verse 17. So they went. They won the battle. In verse 17, Samuel came back and met the king Saul, because God already told Samuel in the night that I regretted making Saul to be king. He has forsaken me. That was what God told Samuel. Samuel wondered what has happened in the battlefield. And then Samuel came to meet Saul. And verse 17 was when Samuel was confronting Saul. See, Saul thought he had done what God said. You see, that is the danger. Go and destroy them all. And he, yes, sir. And he went to the soldiers and he went and he destroyed them all. But the people said, well, no, let's not destroy this one. Maybe they went and saw a ranch of cattle. Wow, these are fat cows. We've never seen this kind of cows in our king. Let's keep these cows. And they forgot the instruction. So that is what we are saying. Don't forget. Take the first hold of instruction and watch those words carefully. It's what God is trying to make us to see here. And by the time Samuel confronted Saul was arguing that, ye, I've done what you said. Here it is. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy eye, verse 17, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And look at what Saul said. Verse 20. Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek. Was that part of the instruction? The king was so far, that, please have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And then they have mercy. God said it should save the king. See, that is one of the things that God is saying. Sometimes we just take our own words, the way we deal with words of the boss or one another, and then we forget that God is greater than even the kings of the earth. And some of those small instructions in the scriptures, we have to take it very carefully. When we do, then we get the results that God will give to us. Let me give one example of the word that we should take carefully. It's in the scripture. The Bible said, flee fornication. Now, watch that word very carefully. Flee fornication. That's an instruction in the word of God. What does it mean to flee? Run away. I mean, this is danger. It's saying flee. Not something you play with and just say, oh, no. No, it's a flee fornication. So you should watch the Bible shows the word flee. It's almost like you run when you see something trying to pull you into that type of sin. So that is what I mean by don't play. And here is an example, which I'm going to get to, is the story of Genesis. Because when God gave the word, if you change it a little, it may mean not that serious. Not so. If you change the verb, it can connote that it's not that serious. Not so. The same way, if you change it to something else, it may look as if, oh, is that serious? And then somebody say, look, I didn't die. And it looked like they just disproved that. So very important, but don't change the word. And here's an example. There's the Bible verse that tells us that in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6, it said, the word of God is pure. The word of God is pure. But it said, don't add anything to it. Don't add anything to it. In fact, don't change it, is the word, what I mean. Don't add anything. He said, lest he reprove thee, and you will become like a liar. That's the story of Genesis chapter 3, where God told Adam in verse 2 and 3, in Genesis chapter 2, that thou shalt not eat thereof. And let me read it to you so that we know what we are saying here. I'll come back to the story of Saul right in a moment, because we need to summarize that one. In Genesis chapter 2, this is the instruction given to mankind, to Adam, which we believe that he passed down to Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, watch those words carefully. Here is chapter 3, when the devil came to tempt Eve. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Or verse 2 to 3. Said the serpent was more subtle. That is the devil. Everything we are talking about, most of the time, the devil is the one that's going to initiate the disobedience. Because when God is talking, we are talking about obeying God to the letter. But the enemy will try to make you disobey. And it's very easy for him to, if he comes to you and says, don't do it. Everybody have common sense to say, I will not do it. I will do what God says. But he will try to make it come in a subtle way. And that is what we see in that story of Eve. Said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, As God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he lumped everything together. Did God say, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, she just added touching it to that instruction, which we didn't see in chapter 2, verse 17. So she said, neither shall you touch it. All the devil has to do is to say, well, I touched it, I didn't die. Look at me. See what I mean? So the very important is that watch the word of God carefully and don't add to it. We know the rest of the story. And what I said is, some of these things, missing the instruction, can be as deadly as falling down dead. It could also be as, look like nothing happened, but the man just lost favor with God. But what are we to be? We want to be like Jesus Christ. Amen? That is our goal. We want to be like Jesus Christ. We can give so many examples of men that failed one way or the other. Let me give you another one. There is a prophet in the Bible called Balaam. If you don't know the story of Balaam, open to Numbers chapter 22. The book of Numbers, chapter 22. In verse 12 there, we see this prophet, he was called a prophet, Balaam. During the days of Moses, when they were coming from Israel, he was not one of the Israelites. He was in the land of Moab. But they recognized him that he also has some power, that when he curses anything, that thing dies. If he blesses anybody, blessings come upon the person. So the king of Moab knew about him. But now comes the Egyptian Israelites coming out of Egypt in droves, and they were dangerous to the Moabites. So this king of Moab said, let me call for this our prophet here to come and help us curse this bunch of people that are coming from Egypt so that they will just die away. So he came and he sent his officers to this prophet. Let's read it. Number chapter 22. And then the prophet said, okay, well, I don't know about these people, but let me ask the Lord, which is the right thing to do. So he wanted to ask the Lord in verse 12. Numbers chapter 22, verse 12. Let me read from verse 10. So the prophet, the king came and sent some people to Balaam. And verse 11, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt which covered the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And he was talking to the Lord in the dream, in a vision, as God visited him. And God told him, verse 12, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, watch those words carefully. That's all we're trying to say. Watch the words that the Lord used. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, see what Balaam said in the morning. And Balaam, in verse 13, rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refused to give me leave to go with you. Does that mean the same thing? You have to watch the word carefully. This is what I was reading, and the Lord shined some light and said, wait a minute, what does that mean? The Lord refused to give me leave to go with you. Let's say your son comes to you and say, daddy, they say something of my friends wanted us to go to a place over there, and you just knew what was in that place, and you said, don't go with them, or don't go to that place, there's danger in that place. And your son went and said, well, daddy didn't allow me to go with you guys. Is it going with these guys or going to that place? Two different things. Is it going with these guys or going to that place? Two different things. But sometimes when we want to explain, we may not take the instruction carefully and we change it to, he doesn't want me to go with you guys. Is that what God is saying? Or don't go to that place? That is what I'm trying to say. If we watch the word carefully, we see sometimes we misinterpret. So he told the young man, he told this guy, he said, the Lord refused to give me leave to go with you. Which is not the same thing. So, okay. So God said, okay, I'll let you go with them if that's what you say I said. And he went with them the second time they came back. But the angel of the Lord God went and stood in the way. See, that is what I'm trying to say. We have to watch those instructions carefully and be careful not to miss it. Here is the story of Moses. We know this story about Moses in Numbers chapter 20, just some two chapters before this. Was Moses the great man that we all know how God used him mightily? So God is no respecter of person, even for great people that were so close to him, or we common people that are far away. If we want to move close, we want to be like Jesus, we want to be like Jesus. He is the perfect example we want to be like. And he told us, I always do that which pleases my Father. Which means, he must be watching every instruction carefully. In fact, he said in John chapter 5, about verse 19, he said, I can do nothing of myself. What I see my Father do, that I do also. And that is where we are really going. And I'm summarizing this message. That is where we are going, that if the Lord comes and we all want to perform wonders, we want to heal the sick, make the lame to walk, make the blind to see. And when the Lord does those things in the Bible, he did specific things differently, because this is how he saw the Father do it, whether in a vision or a voice. If you are about to lay your hand, the Lord said, don't lay your hand upon him, just point. you better point. You see, that is what we are talking about. It's instructions that may look like where everybody lay hand upon the people and you lay your hand. God is what is going to do some of those miracles. What he said has to be watched and followed to the letter. Because he is greater than the kings of the earth. Let me read this story of Balaam before we go to Solomon in a moment. Here is the Moses. Here is the story of Moses in Numbers chapter 20. The people have been making Moses angry, and this time there was no water for them. Numbers chapter 20. And they have been grumbling to Moses, what are we going to drink? And da da da. Verse 1 and 2 said, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. Verse 2. There was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people showed with Moses and says, woe God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? So you can say they have been complaining, they have too many aggravation for Moses. Verse 8. Moses cried unto the Lord. In verse 7, the Lord spake unto Moses this time. He said, verse 8, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Well, that is the instruction. Now, if we know what Moses did, was just didn't pay too much attention to those word by word instructions. Every other one, he has been doing it fine. But this time, the people can make you be aggravated. That was what King Saul said. He said, but the people wanted this. So he was the king, so he yielded to them. The people can make you be aggravated. Of course, in fact, the devil can make you be aggravated using the people. But this time, the Bible said, they provoked him until he forgot what God said. And this is what he did. Moses, the great one, in verse 10. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Well, that's not what God says, you see. Anyway, but what he did was in verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. The water came out, of course. You may say, well, at least I've got the water, but God was not well pleased. Look at verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses, how close he was to God, he begged and prayed and asked God, please. God said, no, you are not going into the land too. So he just lost favor on that particular point. But what we are saying is, it's just a matter of the instruction is so to be watched to the letter. That's what God is telling us. And when we want to walk with the Lord in this end time, to be like Jesus, we have to pay attention to every instruction, even the instructions in the scriptures. How much more when he speaks to us. There's a Bible verse that Paul said, when your own obedience is fulfilled. So now obedience, that is what we are talking about. Is my obedience fulfilled if my father tells me to go burn these things, and I say, yes, and I took all of those things to the trash, and I was burning them, and I picked that wristwatch, and I put it in my pocket. It looked like I have obeyed, but to the high and lofty one who seeth all things, it's not complete, because I pick up something. You may say, well, what does it matter? It's just a wristwatch. To God, it's not a wristwatch. That is the danger we are not seeing many times when we are dealing with the spiritual things. Because if he said these things are contaminated, you know, right now in the world, we can talk about it. If they say something is contaminated with radiation, what does that mean? Don't play with it. It's contaminated with radiation, which means if you touch it, it might even cause radiation into your fingers, and you yourself be sick. How much more what God can see can be demons. They will lash themselves to those things, and God said, burn them up. And you didn't want to bunk this one, and you bring it back. See, we are just trying to put meaning into what could it mean. It could mean much more than that. But this is what God is telling us, that when your own obedience is fulfilled, then God will be ready to avenge every disobedience. He wants you to be able to cast out demons. In my name, you shall cast out demons. And then you can try to cast out some devil. They refuse to obey you. But God is the one that should make them obey you. But when God refused to make them obey you, it's because you are not completely obedient to him yet. So it's just as simple as that. When your own obedience is fulfilled. Praise the Lord. But like I said, some of these things can be deadly. It could be as serious as people falling down dead. Here is an example in the book of Leviticus. Because when we say obedience, it's not, you say, well, God didn't tell me directly, but what he has written down is just like the one I quoted, flee fornication. It has been written in the scriptures. If you say, I'm going to follow the Lord, you should just take those words seriously. He said, flee. Don't play around with the opposite sex when it's not your partner, your wife, your the one you are married to. Flee means you avoid it. That's why many people, when we are born again, we cut off everything that could make us to get into any trouble. Cut it off. Because he said, flee fornication. So the same way, here's an example of these two sons of Aaron. Praise the Lord. In the book of Leviticus chapter 9, these men are not, they are not little boys. They are already grown up with wives. They are married. But they are the sons of Aaron, the high priest. God has already anointed them that they will be priests with their father. Moses anointed all of them together. And here is what happened. They must have known what God said, but somehow they forgot something. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23. I said, not paying enough attention to the instruction can be as deadly as people falling down dead. Or it could just be losing favor with God. That way, the prayer he prayed is not as effective as the other guy. What made the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to just say it, to do? He said, because I always do that which is pleasing unto my Father. And we want to be like Jesus. If we are not like Jesus, if our obedience is not fulfilled, what will we lose? We may not miss heaven. We may not be cast into hell. We may not even fall down dead. Maybe our prayer is just not as effective. We are not to be able to walk on the water like Jesus Christ walked on the water. Why? Because we are not as obedient as he was obedient to the Spirit. That's all part of that. But that is what our goal is. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. Amen. Leviticus chapter 9. Let me read verse 23. See the story of this man. Now, verse 23 and 24 is the prelude to verse chapter 10. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Well, what was happening there? God appeared and they saw the fire came down and burned the sacrifice by itself before anybody light a candle. And the people fear and they fell down and say, oh, God is with us. But these priests, in verse chapter 10, the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them is censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. We didn't know how they got the idea from. They just decided to go, and they saw this fire came down. I remember somebody told me that if a light come down from the sky and it's the Lord, you will just jump into the light, maybe you will take him to heaven. Maybe that's the kind of thing that came to this mind of this. They just decided that, wow, the Lord came down, they got incense, started making it, and God smote them. Who told you to make incense? See? He said, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Well, you can see what that happened, what we make Aaron. Aaron was the high priest, he just got scared. I say, disobedience, it could be as deadly as that. Another story, when David the king, which was in another chapter, 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, David the king wanted to bring the ark of God, and they were carrying it, and they were playing tambourines, cymbals, and they were all praising the Lord, but they put the ark on the cart, which a donkey was pulling. And one of the priests, who was actually the son of the man that was keeping the ark all along, his sons were following the ark, they were like priests too, And the priest, the ark was shaking the rod, the ark of the covenant was, because they said the donkey stumbled somehow. And this guy grabbed the ark so that it won't fall down. And what happened? A fire came down from the ark and just smote him, and he died. You say, well, it could be as deadly as that, just disobedience. That's all disobedience. Well, who told him not to touch the ark? They know the ways how this thing should be done. Because they are not following the precepts, or they are not obeying the instruction. They are not to touch it. They are to carry it upon their shoulder. So that simple disobedience or not doing it right, it could be just as deadly as falling down dead, or it could be just they just lost favor. So we're saying that whichever one happens, we need to learn something from this exhortation. The word of the king, even on earth, is serious. But how strongly should he say it for you to take it to let? How much more the God of heaven? There's a story of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Let me read this one, then we're going to wrap up with that story. This is the story of King Solomon after David has given him instruction about, actually David told him about this man that was like an enemy of David. And David said, I'm not going to touch this man, I'm not going to kill him. But you are the new king now, you just do whatever you like to him. I know you are wise, but don't let him live. So Solomon wanted to act on that instruction of his father who just passed the kingdom to him. And Solomon called this man called Shimei. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. That was where Solomon was given instruction by David. David said, and behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which caused me with a grievous cause in the day when I came down to meet, when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. He said, but therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and know what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoary head bring thou down to the grave with blood. So David gave instruction to Solomon that don't let this man live. I have sworn to him that I will not kill him, but you are separate. You can do whatever you like. So now Solomon was going to act on that. This is what I'm trying to point out in this story, is that the word of a king, he gave an instruction to this man, and that was how Solomon set it up. In verse 36, so Solomon called this man and said in verse 36, and the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there. Go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thy own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Well, that's instruction. Solomon, actually, we know he set him up. So don't leave this county, because I have something against you. Anytime you leave the county, you are in trouble. You're going to be killed. So Shimei knew that he offended the family of David. So he said, yes, sir, that's what I will do. So he knew what was going on. So he said, yeah. But how strongly should he be said? How many times should he be repeated to his ear for him to take it seriously? Or how long? But see, sometimes people forget. Maybe, for example, in our own case, it could be IRS said this way. That is what the IRS said. But does it have to be repeated one over? If there is their law, they may not get you in the first year if you keep doing it, or you have done what they said you shouldn't do. Maybe 5 years later, they got you. But they will get you anyway when they finally get you. And that is the same thing. How much more God? This is King Solomon is saying, well, he gave this man this instruction. And the Bible said in the next verse, that it passed, 3 years passed. 3 years passed. Maybe the Shimei, I thought, well, it's not that important. He said, don't leave the county. And then, yes, sir. Well, first year, the second year, the third year. Then something happened. He just had to leave the county to go get his servants. And he went and came back. Nothing happened. Maybe he thought nobody would tell the king. But 3 years, maybe people that heard it then, maybe they have forgotten. How strongly should it be said? How strongly should it be said? How many times should it be repeated for us to take that instruction very seriously? The words that are chosen, that are words of kings, are very important. Maybe some weeks later, somebody told the king, Shimei has gone to another city and came back. Then the king, 3 years has passed, called Shimei. Said, did you not swear, didn't I say you shouldn't leave this county? Now he was dumbfounded. Then they have to get rid of him that day. So what are we saying? What we are saying is that that was the word of a king on earth. 3 years may pass, but it was still effective. How much more the word of God, that is the King of Kings, his words are to be watched very carefully. That is what I'm trying to point. That's what the Lord is telling me in this story, and I'm passing it down to you. That we want to be like Jesus. When we come to the state where he said, a servant is not greater than his Lord. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be exactly like him. We have to watch his words very carefully. To be like him is to obey him to the letter. In fact, the terms he gave as a friend, he said, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. That is his own terms of being his friend. When you do whatsoever he commands you. So remember that the word of a king is serious. The word of God is much more serious. Especially watch the words he used. Watch the instruction carefully, because it could be just to the point of losing favor with him. But we want to be as great as the Lord. Here's how I'm going to wrap it up. In John chapter 5, the Lord gave us his own example. John chapter 5, verse 19. The words of God is pure. Do not add anything to it, nor change anything from it, and wash it carefully. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. And we know in Mark chapter 1, verse 11, even before all these things, the Bible said, the voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, which means he has come to the stage where it is whatever the Father says is what he will do. He said, as I hear, I judge. He said, I'm not even judging according to my own intellect. Whatever I hear the Father say, that's what I'm doing. In short, the Lord is giving us example that we ought to be like that too. Watch the word of God very carefully. And take fast hold of that instruction, because that may be the reason why we are not getting what we want to get as we ought to get it. We are not getting it as we ought to get it. We are not getting the answer speedily or completely. Why? Because we are also not taking the word of God completely or speedily. So we want to check ourselves, check your life. Check the way when I speak like that, you could have checked and say, hey, maybe that is one of the things that I know if I have done it completely, if I have done what he said this way, maybe this would have happened. Because sometimes the Lord speaks softly to our heart. Sometimes he speaks softly in the word of God. I remember a friend that told me that, remember there was a time somebody gave exhortation that you stay out of debt, or you should not do this. And by the way, if we refinance our house and we took the money out and we spent it, and then here comes the trouble. If you look back, you might say, hey, maybe during that time we are doing that, there was an exhortation that said you shouldn't participate in that. Maybe I won't run into this trouble. So that is one of the things when we talk about the instruction of God, it may be as simple as just losing some favor or losing some opportunity or regretting something. But if we take fast hold of those instructions and watch it carefully, we'll be avoiding a lot of trouble. We'll be avoiding a lot of trouble. That is what we want to point out. And we want to be like Jesus, because that is the goal of this end time. That God is looking for sons at this time. He wants us to come to the state where we can say, as I hear the Father tells me, that is exactly what I will do. If I'm going to pray for the sick, the way I hear him say, that's the way I'm going to do it. And the Lord will be blessing you, and the Lord will be pleased when you are, or your obedience is completely fulfilled like that. And that is what we want to challenge everybody to. I want to challenge you as I'm challenging myself. Do you want your obedience? Is your obedience so fulfilled? If your obedience is not fulfilled, it is time for us to begin to cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, whatever is that thing? Sometimes it comes to your mind, you just don't know why you act this way. or you don't know why you yielded to this opinion. Opinion of the people, opinion of friends, opinion of crowds that make you to just change the way the things, or the opinion of the flesh that just lusted after the wristwatch, or opinion of the people that wanted to please the crowd and they say, well, I don't think the God didn't say we shouldn't do it anyway, and you just agree with them. God didn't say we shouldn't do that, and you agree with them. But take the first hold of instruction. Take the word of God very carefully. If the scripture said it, I believe God meant it. And those who are taking it so seriously, then they get the reward. If you are not taking it seriously, then you won't be getting the reward of those who are taking it seriously. Let's stand up and pray. We're going to pray for ourselves and ask the Lord to help us in these things that look so simple. It looks so simple, but like I give that example, sometimes it's just small, simple things is what put us in trouble because we are not paying close attention to the instructions that are given in the scriptures. We take it casually, or we generalize it until it really have no meaning. It goes from everything in our way of talking, in our way of dressing, in our way of interacting, in our way of obeying His word. Let's pray for ourselves. Begin to pray right now. Just pray for yourself. Say, Lord, in this obedience thing, help me, Lord. Because when our obedience is fulfilled, then God will be available, will be ready to avenge us, to make our words to be like His own word, so that whatever you say, is it the Lord performing the counsel of His servants? That is when the servants are so obedient to Him, He will back them up. So you pray for yourself and say, Lord, I want to be able to be obedient like you want me to be obedient. But you see, obedience that we are talking about, like Moses, we say Moses disobeyed. That's very, he's so close to God. That disobedience look like it's nothing. It becomes very important also when you are so close to somebody. Obedience to God is very important then. But even you that is far away, you've got to come to Christ so that your way of life has to be changed first. If you are here, you are not even a Christian. You are just invited to church, you come. But you yourself need to first learn the simple fundamental obedience that I want to take Jesus and obey this Bible. You need to first come and let's pray for you and set you free from all the sinful nature that is already ingrained in mankind that is pulling you away from the life of God. So if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to learn this obedience, you want to get into this door of obedience. When you begin to obey the Bible, that's when you are actually in the door of obedience. Even then, we that are in the path of obedience, He is trying to make us perfect by all this instruction. But if you are here today, you have not really accepted Jesus. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To be able to obey Him, He has to wash you clean with His blood. He has to put a new spirit in you. And that new spirit is what we call being born again. I want you to come forward. Let's pray for you first. Because that is the message for you. If you have not accepted Christ, you need to first come, accept Jesus Christ, let Him wash you with His blood, that will purify your spirit, and you become a new creature. Then you'll be getting closer and closer. And these things I'm talking about, the simple elementary things that say if you do this, you are going to get losing favor. That is losing favor, not getting your prayer answered. But you need to first come and be washed by the blood of Jesus. Is anybody here that needed that deliverance? You say, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to begin to be obedient to God. I want the Lord to touch me and change my nature from this nature of sin to this nature of the Son of God. You've become a new creature. You need that deliverance, and we are here to pray for you and deliver you first and foremost. So you want anybody here that is a new person, you want to be born again, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, raise up your hands so I can pray with you. Anybody? Or you need deliverance in your body. You want me to just pray for you for healing? You can also step forward and I'll pray for you. If you want healing for your body, I can pray for you right now before we finish up. But if you are just here, I say, everything you've said, I just go to church. I'm really not sure that I obey every aspect of the scriptures. There are some things I do obey, but some I just can't do it yet. What you need is a new life in Christ, a new creature, a new nature. And Jesus Christ wants to give you that new nature. And that is when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You could have been raised in church. You could have been going to church. You do what is pleasing to you. And the other one that you couldn't do, you just brush it aside. That's because you have not been born again. You need to be born again. Let Jesus Christ fill your life and fill your heart. Then your obedience will begin to be in the right direction. So you want to come forward, let's pray for you. If you want to accept Jesus and be born again, come forward, let's pray for you. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, and don't assume. Some people say, well, I think I am. If you are born again, you will know. It's an experience one day. When the Holy Ghost come upon you one day, you will know that, hey, from that day, you are a different person. A new nature has come. A new creature in Christ you become. So if you have not, come forward, let's pray for you right now while we are still waiting. Everybody else, just pray. Just pray for yourself right now. Father, we pray for everyone that is listening. We pray for one another right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will help us in this world of obeying you to the letter. Teach us, Lord, how to do it. And give us your grace, Lord, to be able to obey you to the letter, to watch your instruction carefully, to watch your word carefully so that we do not err. Help us, Lord, in this path of righteousness. Because if people like Moses that were so close to God, God told them before them, he said, Moses is a different person. I speak to him face to face. If Moses can just forget an instruction and do something differently, and God was not well pleased, how much more we that don't even see him face to face like that? It will make us to tremble and say, Lord, help us in this way, in this pathway, so that we our hearts will be quickened by your spirit, the spirit of your son that you have put in us. He said he has put the spirit of the son of God in us so that we can say, Abba, Father. That we will be like Jesus. From our heart, we will be saying, Father, I only want to do what you tell me to do. I only want to move as you want me to move. Say, the son can do nothing of himself, but what he said the Father do? Help us to come to that state, Lord Jesus, so that we will be able to say, like Jesus Christ said it, that as I hear, I judge. I don't judge according to my own eyes, but according to what the Father tells me. Father, help us to hear thee and follow that instruction to the letter, to please the Father always, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. And we know, Lord, it is not by, it's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It is you that is calling us, and you have called us unto yourself, and you are the one that is showing mercy to us to make us to walk in that path, in that narrow road. Help us to walk in that narrow road and please thee, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I hope you get something from this exhortation. Praise, let's just give a shout to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you pass by there, you see something like this that can remind you. I put some pamphlets that you over there. It will remind you of some of these things. It's similar to what we just exhort. Take one each. I hope you have enough there for everybody. But take one each. You take it home and read more about simple obedience to those simple instructions, to watch it carefully. And the Lord will be teaching you more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. Let's worship him. Bless the name.